Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 down to verse 14. The last number of weeks we've considered Paul's prayer for the saints at Philippi, and there was wonderful lessons there about putting Christ first in our lives. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer, seek the Lord at this time and ask him even just to give us help even just now. Father in heaven, we come to thee, and Lord, as we come to the most central part of thy of this worship service, it is, O God, for the preaching of thy word. And Lord, even as our Saviour sat beside the disciples and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, so Lord, we pray this day thou wilt draw near, and O God, we will have a view of Christ. Father, we thank thee the scriptures, they are they which testify of thee. And O God, we thank thee that we don't need to come and wonder what we're going to say Lord's Day by Lord's Day, for we have thy truth, we have thy word. And therefore, Lord, we thank thee, Paul could say to Timothy, preach the word. Lord, we ask of thee, thou wilt apply thy word to each and every heart. Meet the need we ask of thee this day by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Among the different places that Paul had visited on his missionary journeys, Paul desired, as he said in Acts chapter 19, verse 21, I must also see Rome. Rome was a key city of its day, a door of opportunity, a door to be unlocked, opening into more areas for the spread of the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the word ready is the word meaning eager. It speaks of Paul's passion, Paul's desire, Paul's willingness to go to Rome for the spread of the gospel. Paul desired that Jews and Gentiles would know acceptance with God is by faith alone, through Christ's sinless life, his precious blood, and his victorious resurrection. Paul knew that the people of Rome, as any other place, they needed the gospel. They needed to know the hope that there is forgiveness of sin. And I'm glad today that's even the same message that we preach today and throughout our city here in London, because Christ is still the sinner's hope. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way to find acceptance with God. Salvation is through faith alone, in Christ alone. And therefore, men and women, if you are ever to enter into heaven, it's not because of the church you go to or the works that you perform. It is because your faith rests alone in Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul wanted others to have that same hope. And as he went from place to place, he went preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't go to entertain. He went to preach the glorious gospel. And we're so glad, as we've noted already, in this book of Philippians, as we're going through it, how when Paul preached at Philippi, there were souls there whose lives was transformed by the gospel. Because that's what the gospel does. The gospel transforms the lives of sinners. We are saved by grace, and that grace leads us on. And so Paul was a faithful servant of God, and he desired to go to Rome, that the people in that area would hear Christ. Oh, they heard of all the pagan gods. They heard of all false religion. They heard of many different ways. But Paul came to preach the one gospel, the one way to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I asked you before we go on, even just now, if you're saying you're going to heaven, what is the basis of you going to heaven? If it's not Christ alone, then I say to you, it is a false hope. But if you can say to me, preacher, I'm going to heaven because I have no other hope and I have no other plea, it is Jesus' blood alone, then hallelujah, we'll see you there one day. And so we pray that if not, you will come this day and put your trust in Christ. But as Paul set out for Rome, the journey to Rome from a human viewpoint did not go to plan. Again, you can read the background from Acts chapter 21 through to chapter 28. And on the way to Rome, Paul was arrested. He experienced shipwreck. He was bitten by a snake. And then when he finally reached Rome, he was taken there as a prisoner, put in a cell, chained to a Roman guard, and waiting sentence for death. The journey to Rome was long. It was dangerous. It seemed one trouble after another, one setback after another. And from a human perspective, anything that would go wrong did go wrong, and worse than ever imagined. The plan and path of going to Rome, which should have been straightforward, turned into trials, troubles, met with opposition, met with aggression, obstacles and resistance. And so when Paul is then in prison in Rome, and the Philippians heard the news of Paul's imprisonment, they sent a faithful servant named Epaphroditus to come to Paul and then to express their concerns. And so what you have in Philippians is Paul writing the letter to the saints at Philippi, explaining to them his situation and explaining to them all the great truths of the gospel to encourage them in the things of God. And as Paul writes to them, he does so with a love, because Paul labors for the saints at Philippi. He labors for them in prayer. He labors for them in preaching, because Paul took his example from Christ, who is the good shepherd. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, verse 33. Soon he would go to the cross to accomplish redemption for sinners he came to save, where he would die the just for the unjust, where he would give his life a ransom for the many, and then ascend into heaven. And he said these words to his disciples, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say unto you. And they were perplexed at the sayings of Christ. They just couldn't grasp the whole point of what Christ was getting at. And as you learn through the Gospels, even after Christ died, they still didn't fully understand all that that had meant. And the Lord could see they were downcast. The Lord could see that they were troubled and perplexed. And so he said to them in John chapter 14, continuing on the conversation, let not your hearts be troubled. And then he said to them, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the whole point of Christ's ministry was he brought his disciples to think about the blessings of redemption, to think about the benefit of redemption, because that's what cheers the hearts of God's people in times of trial, in times of trouble, when we don't understand things. It's getting a view of Christ and thinking about redemption and what Christ did and why he did it. And so that's what Paul is doing here. When we come to verses 14, 12 to 14, Paul is saying, all that happens in my life, it's all centered upon redemption, because all that God works and all that God will ever do for his own people, through his own people, is on the ground of redemption. Paul in verses 12 through 14, as he writes to the saints at Philippi, they're troubled, they're distressed, they're discouraged, they're anxious. There was a lack of knowledge, not only about Paul's situation in jail, but also concerning the furtherance of the gospel. But above all, they failed to see the hand of God in the situation. They failed to understand how it was God's will to bring Paul to Rome, having suffered so much. They couldn't understand Paul being persecuted, Paul being put in a prison. How could the gospel ever advance? How could the gospel ever further Surely that must be it now. And they misunderstood, they misinterpreted, and they misapplied the movings of God to them. It seemed like the work of God, the missionary endeavors of Paul, came to a halt. It wouldn't go any further. It would just end there and then. And so Paul, as he writes this letter, he brings them back to the mind of Christ. He brings them back to God's great purpose to save a people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul can say in verse 12, I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have happened unto me, or unto me, have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. But I would ye understand, brethren. The word understand, as you have it before you, means to know. Furthermore, this word to know, understand, it is in the continual tense, meaning Paul saying, there's something I want you to continually understand. There's something I want you to keep on knowing. In other words, there's something I want you never to forget, but always remember. When there's a difficulty, when there's a trial, when you don't know the ways God is working, I want you always to remember. I want you always to know something. And maybe you have done that yourself. You, to get someone's attention. You say, I want you to get this. I want you to know. There, listen, there's something I'm about to say right now, and you better be listening. You better get this. You better not forget it. Because when the time gets rough, I want you to go back to that first stage and remember what I have said. Brethren, I would that ye know, that you would understand what I'm about to say. And so Paul is getting at, whenever they would read this letter, or the letter was read out to them, they would understand what Paul was getting at. And Paul says, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to never forget when you go through doubt, when you go through times you don't understand the ways of God is leading in your life or in other people's lives. It's all happening for the furtherance of the gospel. If you just want a slogan, you could say, it's okay, God knows what he is doing. And that's what Paul is getting at. I'm in prison, but God's work is God's work. And he will advance his cause. He will see his work goes on because he has a people to save and believers to be strengthened. So men and women, there's a word for us today that God knows what he is doing. And so there's something the Lord wants you to know. And as we go through this passage today and through this book of Philippians, may we have the mind of the Lord. And so what does the Lord want us to understand? What does Paul say to these believers to understand? Notice, first of all, the things which happen unto us are appointed by God. Paul says in verse 12, the things. And that phrase, the things, sums up all that has happened to Paul up to that point. So those things, they cover these things, they cover a multitude of different aspects in Paul's life and in his ministry, especially going to the end of all the times of trouble, opposition, and then being put in jail for preaching the gospel. In fact, in the original rendering of these words, the words, the things, signify the things concerning me. And so that's what the phrase really means. The things that have happened, the things concerning me. What concerns my life? What impacts my life? Anything that God does in my life, it's not by mistake. It's not out of sorts. It's not God's taking me down a wrong road, but it's actually God advancing his purposes through my life. If I go down a certain way, it's because God has led me that way. And so Paul says, here's things, the things concerning me, the things that you're not getting, the things that you don't understand that's troubling you about me in prison, about me in Rome and the sufferings. There's something I want you to know. This word, the things, is also translated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, as my circumstances. It's also translated in Colossians 4, verse 7, as my affairs. And so that gets you the meaning of this word. Paul is saying, all that happens to me, all that concerns me, all my circumstances. It's all for the furtherance of the gospel. And in that reason, and for that cause, it is appointed of God. Anything that takes place in my life, it is ordered and appointed by God. Because when your circumstances change in life, as Paul's had, when your journey in life is different to what you had planned, as in Paul's case, when people reject you, when results and projects go against you, when serving the Lord and you're faced with trouble, no, God has appointed it. God has permitted it. God has ordered it. All a part of his way to advance the gospel. Again, Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 10, but he, that's God, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so all that happens in our life, men and women, God, it's for his purpose. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. Even the truth applies to you as well, men and women who are not saved. God still works marvelous in your situation to bring offense and things. Why? For you to hear the gospel. God maybe puts you in a situation where you meet a preacher or another believer or whatever the situation may be. It's not by mistake. It's not by chance. It's not by, oh, I met one of them before. It's God has brought them to you for you to hear the gospel. And I say to you today, if you're in this room and you're not saved, it's no mistake you're here. It's no chance that you're here. It's not by good luck. It's not because it's a hot day and I'd rather be in a building where it's air conditioned. Or well, not even that, but it's not even probably as cold or warm here anyway. But the point is, it's no mistake. You're here because you're learning afresh. God's brought you here afresh to tell you there's salvation through him. Salvation is of the Lord. And God permits a trouble in your life. God permits something in your life in order for you to be brought again. It's all for the furtherance of the gospel. As we've been learning in Philippians, when Paul was in jail, it was only then, and we'll look at this later on actually, that there were people saved there and reached there that never would have been reached before if Paul had not been in jail. And Paul didn't mope and complain, oh, I'm stuck here. No, he writes to them, God has brought me to this point in my life. Why? Because there was people in Rome that needed the gospel and needed to be saved. So God is glorified. Sinners are saved and his people are glorified. So learn, the things have happened unto me have happened. They're appointed by God. Two simple thoughts under that. That means, believer, continually understand that such things that happen unto us or happen unto you, they are appointed personally. Paul said, the things which happen unto me. So Paul is writing from a personal manner. He's gone through trial. He's gone through persecution. As a preacher of the gospel, as a follower of Christ, he has suffered for righteousness' sake. Again, you can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28, of all the sufferings that Paul endured. But even all those things that Paul went through on the way to his final destination, God was in control. You see, God, believer, has appointed a different path for each and every one of us. We all come from different backgrounds, different locations, different jobs and talents. And therefore, all that is ordered by the Lord for his own glorious gospel. Not all are called to bear the same burdens as Paul. Not all are called to go through literal shipwrecks, but we all will go through times of trial and times of trouble. Not all will be bitten by a snake, though I think there's one person here who told me one time that they have been bitten by a snake, and no doubt maybe after this some others will tell me as well. And so we all have those different types of things. But the point is, what happens to me? What happens to you personally? The circumstances, the things concerning my life, my family, my situation is suited for us, designed for us by the Lord. And so Paul's getting the Philippians to understand it's all under the direction of the Lord. That's why we could say like the psalmist David, my times are in his hands. And therefore, believer, from the time of your birth right through to the time of your death, your life is in the control of the Lord. And we ought to keep that before us. David could say, as for God, his way is perfect. God lets us go through different trials and tribulations to show how good and how glorious he is. To show us he is the rock of our salvation. To show he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Unsaved one, the Lord brings you the point to realize, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can keep trying, and you can keep trying, and you can keep trying other ways and different things, but these will not do you any good. You must come to Jesus Christ alone, because he has made full atonement for sin. His blood covers over sin. His blood removes the guilt of sin. It's not just some sins are forgiven. It's not just a couple of sins are forgiven. All our sin is forgiven. The word atonement, by the way, just means to cover over. And therefore, when a sinner calls upon the Lord for salvation, their sin is covered over in the sight that it's out of the view from the Lord. You see, sinner, right now God looks upon you in wrath and in ruin. He is angry with the wicked every day. And you may say to yourself, but I look pleasant and I do these things. That may be so, but all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And the only way God can look at you through eyes of acceptability is through his own beloved Son. And so you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have all your sins forgiven. O sinner, turn while the Savior in mercy is calling. Come to him this day. Notice also, believer, continually understand the things that have happened unto us are not only appointed personally, but they are appointed periodically. Paul said, the things which have happened unto me. And so you read from Acts chapter 21 through to chapter 28, and it all just didn't happen at once. It happened throughout a period of time. And Paul really also includes in this things that have happened and things are about to happen. What's happened to me now and what will happen to me. Different things at different seasons through my life. All the opposition, all the obstacles. But at the same time, through them, God gives opportunities to serve him, to know of his grace. Throughout every single stage of our life, between childhood, adulthood, senior citizen, we all have times when the Lord, at certain points of our life, allows things to come into our life. Maybe some have had more hospitalizations than others. Maybe you're impacted by certain things, certain circumstances, the pressures, the demands from every day, whatever it may be. But understand the things that happen unto us, they are appointed periodically. Why? Because throughout your whole life, the Lord wants you to know, no matter what stage you are in life, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never fail you. And therefore, when he helps you through your childhood, in adulthood, into your older years, again, when you come to those years of senior citizenship, the Lord will still be your help. When you're coming to the end of life's journey, the Lord will still be your helper. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And so things that come into your life at different times shows that God is still there. God is still working out his purposes in my life. God knows when, where, and how much and how long to try his people. His grace is sufficient. You look at the lives of the disciples and through the years that they spent with the Lord, the things that they experienced, times of storm, time of hard situations, confronted with difficult situations, times when the multitudes had no food and they didn't know what to do. And the whole point was, the Lord was teaching that He is the answer. He is the one able to deliver. He's the one able to meet the need. He's the one that can sustain. He's the one that can provide. He makes the crooked path straight. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. And so Paul can write to the Philippians, anything that happens in my life, all these things that have happened, it's happened under the furtherance of the gospel. When I was with you, and Paul can, again, we've looked at this already, and you go back to the start of the book of Philippians, when Paul came to Philippi, remember, he was put in jail. Even back then, God was working, because when he went into jail, it was there the Philippian jailer heard the gospel and was saved. And so Paul's point is this, back then, God was working in my life. He was sufficient. And now, up to date, nothing's changed. God's still sufficient, and He's still working His purposes in my life. And so the application for us, child of God, for mature, older Christians, you can look back in your life and you can teach younger Christians the things that you have gone through, the circumstances in your life, the mountains and the valleys, when it seemed impossible to go forward, when it seemed impossible to get back up, and you didn't understand at that time all that God was doing. You can say, looking back now, God was in control. And the things that happened on to me, God had a purpose for the furtherance of His word. Younger Christians, you can know that whatever happens in your life going forward, the things that will enter into your life, God is in control. So Paul is showing the things which happen unto us, they are appointed by God. Notice secondly and finally, the things which happen unto us are advanced by God. Because Paul says in verse 12, but ye should understand, brethren, remember, you should know that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And so the things that seemed to be a hindrance, seemed to be a setback, were in fact God using them for the advancement of the gospel. And Paul responds with a Godward view. He views his own circumstances through the lens of God's sovereignty. The phrase fallen out, when it says the things that have fallen out, that phrase fallen out means to turn out. And so Paul is saying, the things that have happened unto me have turned out in God's providential purposes for the advancement of the gospel. He uses his own circumstances. What we think frustrates the gospel, God has turned it out for the furtherance of the gospel. What we think are obstacles, God turns it out for opportunities. Paul's in prison. But it's there, he will reach people he never reached before. Christ has died for a people, and that people will be saved. The Father has given on to the Son a people within the everlasting covenant of grace. And for whom Christ's blood was shed, they will all be saved. None will be lost. Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even through worldwide, national and local tragedy, difficulties and things that happen, even through this situation of COVID, God's still moving, advancing His gospel. Not even COVID can stop the work of God going forward, because God is in control. And when He returns, He will doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. The word furtherance, these things have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The word furtherance means advancement, means progress. The idea is to press forward, to drive forward. And so Paul is getting at, I'm here in Rome, I'm in a prison, but my situation in prison, the things that have happened to me, God has turned it out for the advancement, for the progress of the gospel. And remember, the gospel, the word gospel means good news. And there's no better news to learn that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It's still the greatest news ever to be told. And so Paul, as he preaches the gospel, Paul may have been limited, but the Lord was not limited. Again, he could say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. People may say what they want about me. Even on the bonds, even in prison they put me. But the word of God is not bound. And that's what Paul's getting at here. God's word is not bound. Again, Acts chapter 28, verse 23 to 24. You take time to read that. But Paul is there in prison. And there's a day appointed unto him when people were come to where Paul is. And what does he do? He opens up the scriptures to them. And he persuades them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and of Moses and of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And so as Paul was in prison, there he opened up the word of God. He didn't say, tell me your problems and I'll tell you mine. He opened up the word of God to them, and he preached unto them the Lord Jesus. And so the word of God, the furtherance of the gospel, it's not bound in Rome. And I tell you this, it's not bound here in London. I know this is a spiritual declining day. It's a dark day spiritually. And I know people say, what's the point? I say to you, Paul can write to the believers to say, I'm in Rome and God's still working his gospel, furthering it in a hard situation. I say here, even in London, God is still able to move. And even here among Londoners, and we pray God will come and save sinners in this city. So the people that we meet, even the bus reroutes, the train cancellations, the transport delays, all these things God brings together for the furtherance of the gospel. Do you know what? It's an exciting thing. And I know you've been in this situation before. Someone you meet and you begin to pray for them. And unknown to you, that person has a family member who is saved and praying for them as well. And that's exciting because then you enter into that ministry as well. And God's using you for the furtherance of the gospel. In closing, Paul said, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's Paul's whole theme going through this part in prison. The things, the circumstances, all that has happened to me as I seek to be a missionary, as I seek to be a servant of God, as I seek to reach the lost for Christ, all that's happened unto me, I know you look at it and say, is it really God's will? How's the gospel going to flourish? But God has taken that and he has turned it out. He's used it for the advancement of his own cause because the work is not mine. The work is the Lord's work. And so we pray that even believer, you'll know that whatever happens in your situation, God has a redemptive purpose in it to strengthen you and for you to be brought in contact with someone else. Wonder, just in closing, one here today, you're not saved. And like Paul, we've opened up the gospel. We've taught you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not one of many ways. He's not one of the best ways. He is the only way, the only Savior. And when the Lord saves a life, we rejoice he can transform a whole family. And so you can be saved this day, not by confessing sin to me, but you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sin to him because he's the one who saves. He's the one who keeps you. He's the one who changes your life. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.